to the Mug Meetings Summaries Podcast. I'm Gilbert de Tillieu. I was the presenter of the first of three RTFM topics at the September 14th meeting. Let's listen in.
The RTFM on GIF. Start with the man page for it. So here's the GNU man page for GIF. So the usage is very simple. There's diff, and you specify two file name arguments, the from file and the to file. And there are a whole bunch of options, and I'll get into that in just a second. Let me just get my terminal window up. First of all, why would you want to use diff? Well, if you've got two files, and you want to check to see if they're the same or if they have differences, you could use the cmp command. Oops. Oh, I dropped my connection. Hang on. Let me get back in there. So, say you've got two different versions of a file, like http.conf, and you want to compare them. You could use the cmp command, and it'll tell you whether they're identical or not. The advantage of CMP, I guess, is that you can use it on any type of file, whether it's binary or text. But for text files, it doesn't give you a whole lot of information. If there's a difference, it just says, well, it differs starting at a particular byte number and a particular line number. But if you want to see what the differences are, actually, instead of using CMP, we'll just use the diff command instead. And, well, I got a whole bunch of output there. Let's just pipe that through a pager. And so you can see, starting on line 45, okay, there's something that differs, and there's a whole bunch of other differences. So the way you read this output is, okay, you remember there were two files. There's the left-hand file argument and the right-hand file argument. So one way to think of it is the left pointing arrows there, the less than signs, point out the lines that appear in the left-hand file, and the right-pointing arrows point to the files in the right-hand file argument. Or another way to look at it is what changes would be needed to go from the left-hand file argument to the right-hand file argument, and then you can just think of the left-pointing arrows, well, it's like lines that are pointing outward, so those are lines you would remove, and the right-pointing arrow is a line you would insert. And so that essentially shows all the differences between the two files. What lines go out, what lines go in. And those cryptic little things with the numbers are just records of the line numbers and what you would do. These are all indicating changes, and that's why it's a C, except at the bottom where it's you're adding records, and that's why there's an A there between. So it's saying at line 265, you're going to add two lines, 266 to 267, and so on. So you can just go like that. The thing about the way you're looking at it here is it might be hard to understand what exactly these differences are and where they go in the file, unless you happen to memorize line numbers. So some of them might be fairly obvious, but others might not be. So one thing you might want to do is add some context. And the way you do that is with a simple argument, minus C, that's the option. And it gives you the diff listing in a slightly different format now. So for each of the changes, it's giving you a block for the change record. And so the lines that are tagged here with the exclamation marks are showing the lines that change. And the other lines before and after, by default it's three lines, but you can, with another option, specify more or less context lines. And so now you can see where those changes fit into the context of that within the file. I'm just going to move ahead to one of the sections where there was an addition. So exclamation point indicated a change. Additions are marked with a plus sign, as you can see with those server name records down there. But So yeah, this gives us context, but it uses a lot of space to tell you that. The context ends up being repeated twice when there's changes. So we might instead want to use a slightly different option, which gives the output in a different format called unified diff format. So the option is minus U instead of minus C. And we'll just take a look at that. And so now we see that it's just kind of compressed things a little bit. It's showing you the context lines just once, and it's showing the changes again side by side in a simpler format, I think. It just uses a minus sign to flag the lines that you would remove and a plus sign to show the lines you would add. And so it's a fairly intuitive and simple and more compact representation that still gives you context. And I guess that's the reason that this has kind of become the common format that you would use for patch listings. I'm not going to get into patch tonight, but it turns out that with diff listings that include context, you can pipe that into a program called patch, and it will actually automate the editing of the files to make those changes. All right. So there you can see additions and deletions and so on.
Is there anything other than minuses and pluses in a unified diff format?
As far as I know, that's it. Yeah.
There's section headers, right?
Yeah, the at symbols.
Yeah. Yeah, the ats indicate, again, with the line number records, show each of the sections. The unified diff format also includes at the very top the three minuses and the three pluses followed by the file names. That's also useful information for patch. And if you can actually, you know, have several of these concatenated together, and patch will then know which file to apply each of the following section changes to. So, that's a few of the options I wanted to talk about. I wanted to cover a couple other options which deal with handling of blanks, but to illustrate that, I'm just going to use an example here where I'm changing sequences using the sed command, which we've already covered in a previous RTFM. I'm changing sequences of multiple spaces into a single tab character just to make things a little bit more space-wise efficient and improve indenting maybe. So I'm doing that to the file, and then I'm using the unified diff and comparing the original file unchanged to this little minus here represents standard input. We've seen that with some other commands we've covered before. So essentially I'm taking the output of the sed command, which is taking the original file, making changes to it, and then with diff, I'm going to compare that original file to the modified version that sed is producing. And let's just see what we get. Okay, so now we're going to see a whole bunch of changes. Basically, every sequence of multiple spaces gets replaced with a tab. So you get insertions like this, where you end up with those two spaces being replaced by a tab. All right, and so not terribly interesting on its own, but I wanted to show this just to illustrate if we use the B command, that says to ignore white space. In other words, to take any sort of sequences of spaces or tabs and treat them all as if they were a single white space character. And so we get no differences in this case. Now that may not be always good enough. In some cases, let's say you're comparing two C source code files where changes have been made, and sometimes people will just insert spaces to make a particular thing more readable. So, you know, C uses a lot of things like nested parentheses and sometimes very cryptic syntax. So by inserting spaces, you might make things more readable. But if you're using diff to compare two source code listings and you want to only look for significant changes and you don't really care if white spaces have been inserted for clarity, then you might want to use, instead of minus B, the minus W, which basically ignores all white space. It just treats it like as if it wasn't there. So I'll just see if I can find somewhere here I had.
So does dash B need at least one white space character, whereas dash W means it doesn't need any white space characters between the two comparisons?
Want to repeat that?
With dash B, you need at least one white space and any number of white spaces to match. And
exactly.
That would be okay. They're not different.
That's right.
With dash W, you don't need any white space on one file and could have anything, any number of white spaces, and that would still match.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, you got it. So, yeah, for instance, if there was no white space in one versus a single space in the other, dash B would treat those as different, but dash W would not. Okay, so for instance, I'm just going to show, I've got a little bit of C code here, and I'm just going to use the sed command again. And there were a lot of if statements and all that with multiple nested brackets, which are sometimes a little hard to read. So I'm going to try and improve the clarity by just adding spaces before and after each parenthesis. And then I'm going to compare that to the original file. Okay, so in some cases it improves legibility, and in some cases not. But I'm just showing you the differences here quickly, and you'll see the difference that we were just talking about between minus B and minus W. So this is without either of those options, but if I now add the minus B option, all right, it's still showing these things as differences, just because there were sequences with no blanks at all that now have blanks in the changed file. So it shows differences. Whereas if I repeat that again, changing the minus B to minus W, there's no differences. Okay? The only other option I wanted to cover is, say you've got a whole directory as opposed to just comparing two files. Okay. So in this case, it shows you, it tries to do a comparison of the directories. And if there were text files within the two that it found had differences, then it would give you the difference records for all those text files. But right now it's just showing where we have some files that are in one directory and not in the other, okay? But if without the minus R option, it only goes through one level in the directory. It doesn't go down into subdirectories. And so dash R just does the same thing except recursively. And so in this case, the only difference we'll see is where it showed that there were common subdirectories, it now goes into those subdirectories and shows differences within them. And that, in a nutshell, is the diff command. So, just to quickly summarize again what we looked at. We looked at diff, the command, with the two file arguments. Options we covered were minus B for ignoring changes in amount of white space, minus C for context. You can see I'm skipping a whole bunch of options. There's lots of other things you can do with diff, but I'm just covering the essentials here. I didn't cover this one, but this is also potentially a useful one. Minus I to ignore changes in case. So in other words, treat upper and lower case as equivalent. Minus R for recursive. Minus U was the unified diff format. And minus W, ignoring white space completely. Yeah. And that's about all I was going to cover. I invite you to look at the man page and try out examples for more details. And the C also section is quite useful. It lists other related commands like the CMP command that I talked about, the patch command that I alluded to, which is a really useful thing, but I don't have time to cover. And there's also some other sort of sophisticated diff-related commands like diff3 that lets you do three-way file comparisons, useful for merging differences, and sdiff, which is sort of a interactive editor based on difference records. And that's all I had. Questions?
Okay. I'm sort of thinking of potential scenarios here. How would diff react to, let's say, a context where a user was adding different lines to a file that was like, let's say they took a base file, like let's say a configuration file, added their own configuration lines, versus changing the lines that were already there. So how would diff handle that?
It's just adding lines.
I covered that. In that HTTP.conf example I was showing, in some cases I just changed a record in place. Mm-hmm. And so it shows that as a change record. And then other places I just added lines between sections of comments, and it showed that as an addition record instead.
And if someone has come from Unix background and not worked in some of the other environments, the new side of things, certainly if you get used to it, SQL is your friend on that side. The same utilities are pretty much available there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely useful to have things like diff and sed under a Windows environment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh.
I can just throw in another point here, too. The common standard for submissions of patches to free software projects is unified diffs. And you risk getting yelled at. Don't send in a unified diff.
I can give a really peculiar use of diff that I now outdated, but I had used conveniently, and that is at one point I was running an office and had to give typing tests for people who wanted to be office assistants. Of course, now the university does that in some office of typing proficiency testing, but we used to do it on our own. And in particular, since we were using tech, it was not typical typing, but peculiar typing. So what I did was the following. I came up with a file. It was sort of a mixture of text and mathematics, kind of typical thing. And when the applicant came, they had to type out their copy of the file. And when they were done, they said, done. And then the two files were taken and broken so that they were one word per line, and then you ran a diff on it, and you found the mistakes between the original file and the typed one, right? And it's absolutely trivial, and the reaction of the people taking the test was really delightful, because some people were aghast, but some people, I had some people so excited they wanted to take the test again to see that just work. Those were the people I hired, by the way. They got so excited. That's really neat. So you can do peculiar things with diff, and that's one of the really endearing things of Unix, and in my experience, is that you find all these kind of peculiar but useful ways of using it.
Question back
there.
Similar for binary files.
I haven't found anything that works quite like that. With CMP, there is an option that will give you more than just the first change, but it doesn't do like diff. It doesn't try to find the minimal set of changes. It doesn't handle insertions or deletions within a binary file.
Like most binary files, there's no notion of context, so you can't really have a generic diff tool for that. But in my experience, for other source code systems like Perforce, there'll be plugins for certain binary formats. So, like if you have images, the colors are off, you'll have a tool to determine that. You have to somehow impart the context. All text, you can add context. But without text, you're kind of limited.
There are some tools in the DOS world, and some of them have moved forward into the Windows world for patching software distributions so that the update file that you download is only a list of changes to the DLLs, not replacement files. Some of those utilities were free once upon a time, and the internet being what it is, I'm sure a million monkeys have sat down at a million typewriters somewhere along the way and recreated some version of binary diff for Unix, but the algorithms exist, the knowledge is out there, the software exists on some platforms. There are ways to do it, but as Sean said, unless you know the context, you're just saying, well, you know, here's the bytes that change between file A and file B. And most typically when you're dealing with binary records, like if you have a 1 megabyte file and you inserted 1 byte at the third position, your diff is going to be 1 megabyte less 3 bytes, which is not typically very useful.
There's no easy way of resyncing, finding out, getting back. And
could, it'd be very expensive to do.
Yeah, in fact, there's
a very good way to break files.
Yeah, actually,
librsync.
I was just going to
say
that,
like RDF backup.
RDF does the background.
Yeah. But it's not definitely not a minimal set of changes.
I think it's pretty intelligent about it, though. Like RSync will do. If you insert 1 byte at the beginning, it's not.
It figures out
the whole file again.
Right. Yeah.
It's amazingly when you do it, use RSync. It's amazing how much the it's quite smart.
It depends. I think rsync takes advantage of the fact that a lot of binary files just grow, as opposed to changing a lot in the middle.
Yep.
And what it does is it chunks the file up and does checksums on the parts. And so that common property that a lot of file formats tend to just grow is probably what really makes the biggest difference.
I'm not sure it would handle insertions at the beginning as well, because I think it's kind of block-oriented. So if you inserted something at the beginning that shifted everything else, then every block would have a different checksum.
There's an easy way to test it.
No, that's exactly what happened.
Did you read it? Did you say resends the whole file?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I back up, with RDIF backup, like 6 gig files over the internet, where I swear to God things are being inserted, like in the middle.
In the middle, yes, but at the beginning.
Well, but I mean, if it's in the middle of a 6 gig file, if it does the whole file in 5 minutes, it's not transferring 3 gigs.
The last three gigs.
It's definitely doing something to like figure out the shift, if there's a shift.
Well, there's an obvious naive algorithm to chunk up the file into page size chunks, because you can probably safely assume that most binary files on any given platform are going to, I say most, are going to change in multiples of whatever the system's native page size is. Not all, certainly.
RSync does some sort of rolling checksum.
It could be.
It's sophisticated algorithm, whatever it does.
I mean, really, you just need an intelligent hash function and unlimited CPU power. And, Bob Urinkel.
It's very fast.
Otherwise,
internet backups
would
be hopeless.
All right, let's have a break now.
That's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. For more MUG meeting summaries, or for more information about the Manitoba Unix User Group, check out our website. You can find it at muug.mb.ca.